every year you're going to understand us a little bit better, right? Some of you are laughing, so you get that. And I remember one year that I was driving to do taxes. I remember exactly where I was. I was driving over the bridge from northern Kentucky into Cincinnati on my way to have my taxes done. And, you know, at the best of times, that's not a fun day. And as I was driving along, everything certain if the church would make it. Those moments, you know, that we were planting a church, and it was uncertain if the church would make it. There was a lot of financial uncertainty. And then, of course, I was doing taxes. And then I had these two little boys to feed. And I had this moment where I thought back to the time of childhood when you lived under the umbrella of your parents' nesting protection. You know what I mean? And it was this very poignant moment in my mind. And all of a sudden, it occurred to me, this is what my dad meant and my mom meant, that they had these same feelings too. But we never saw them as children because they bore the pain and the hardship and the challenges so that we could live a carefree child's life. Tomorrow, we remember the passion and the sufferings of Christ on the cross and at his trial. Today is a different day. Today, we remember his spiritual sufferings, at least in my mind. It's in the Gospels around this time that you have these phrases or these comments from Jesus where we get a little peek into who he is and what he is going through. And so I think of the song, Jesus Strong and Kind. Do you know, that's a beautiful song. I love that song. We sing that as children under the umbrella of our Lord and Savior who bears the weight of the world on his shoulders. But tonight, even as he does that, we have these little glimpses of him saying, my soul is in agony even unto death. And we see with beyond a child's eyes, we see with an adult's eyes that the Lord truly did bear it all. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of them, the fire of your love. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is about the Passover and the Last Supper. Our Exodus reading is a story of the instructions to the Israelites as they're going into their very first, to the initial, the salvation moment of the Old Testament, the moment of the Passover, which begins the Exodus. And for Moses and the people, it's a meal of redemption. It's a meal of redemption because in this meal and the blood painted over the door frames of their homes, they are spared from the destroying angel, from the presence of wrath that descends upon the wicked. And for some reason, they're spared. It is a meal of redemption because tonight they are delivered from slavery. It is a meal of redemption because tonight they leave Egypt. Or maybe I should say in the morning, they leave Egypt. So what begins today at the table will continue on to the waters of the sea, where they'll cross into freedom. It's also a meal of community. This is the meal that marks Israel as a people. They are a people. And by celebrating this, they are a people who have endured what, for countless centuries and millennia, unbelievable horrors. And yet, when other people groups have come and gone and merged into new people groups, and whatever happens to people groups through history, I don't know. But this people group gathered around this meal, they're still here. This meal marks them of the people of God. Perhaps more importantly, it marks them as a community of the people of God. They're God's people. And so for them, what begins at the table will continue to the waters of the Red Sea when they cross over together under God's protective hand as a family, as a nation. Begins at a table and continues to the waters. And the meal is a big rush. Everything happens fast. So I find it interesting. He says, or it goes through, and if you've really thought about the original story, it must have been chaotic. Because all of the activities going on, the people were, who knows, there's like this yo-yo experience of the Pharaoh says go, the Pharaoh says stay. The Pharaoh says go, the Pharaoh says stay. And now Moses tells them, this is the moment, this is the moment. And so they're already have a heightened awareness of things going faster. And then they have to sacrifice the lamb at sunset and then cook the whole thing and eat it tonight. Now, I've cooked a leg of lamb for Easter before, and I know that's not a quick job, right? I did it on the grill and I misplanned, and I think we ate Easter meal like way late one year. So the people, they're going through all of these things, and it has to happen fast because they're about to leave. They're about to leave. Everything is in haste, and in fact, it says, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, with your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. It's like being at McDonald's in the drive-thru. That's a really terrible analogy, isn't it? I'm sorry, I should not have said that. It is a meal that is not a leisurely meal. It is a meal in a sprint, and you are dressed to exodus. You're dressed to leave. And so this is the meal that the disciples and Jesus are celebrating that night when they gathered right there in the center at the bottom of our stained glass. And there they are, gathered around the table, and they're celebrating that meal. And once again, the world is rushed. Think about the last week, less than a week. There was the triumphal entry with all of its chaos. Children screaming in the temple courts, Pharisees getting upset, people, throngs of people around them. There was the cleansing of the temple, which was certainly chaotic, where Jesus stopped an entire marketplace in its most profitable time of the year. There was escalating conflict with the authorities. And then, of course, for Jesus, there is the knowledge, this is, after all, the Last Supper for him. Imagine the sense of motion and movement that Jesus felt at this time. Do you remember when you were in school and you were taking final exams and you knew you had not crammed enough and you could feel this dreadful thing approaching? At least this is how I felt in school. I could feel this dreadful thing approaching, and I remember looking at the clock and thinking, if I could just make it like turn backwards, if I could just pause it and make it stop. But the time moves forward. It's a meal in haste for Jesus. And so many times we hear him say, the hour has arrived. The hour has arrived. Where did all the time go? And then Jesus does what is absolutely unexpected. He pauses. On a meal that's all about rushing, in a moment in his life that is harried and crazy and moving fast, and he's facing a lethal end. And in the midst of it, he takes a moment, and in the ritual haste, he stops them and he pauses. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, and he was going back to God, rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. There's something about that phrase, he laid aside his outer garments. It's deliberate and slow. It's not he stood up, threw it over the back of his chair, and went over and grabbed the basin and water. No, he took off his robes, his outer garments, folded them up, laid them down, got the basin, and poured the water. And the apostles waited in silence because this isn't part of the Passover meal. If it's your Last Supper, what do you say? What do you do at your Last Supper when you don't have many more words to share? Of all the things for the Son of God, you would think there would be some cosmic message, some revealing of the most secret, important things in all history. After all, this is the moment of salvation history. The Exodus is about to be recapitulated. All of God's work in salvation in this moment is coming to a head. And Jesus pauses. And what does he do? What does he say in this moment? And the truth is, it's not that profound. It's very simple. He takes the bowl, and he humbles, and he kneels down at his followers' feet, and he humbly washes their feet. He washes their feet. He washes Peter's feet, who he knows will deny knowing him 3 times tonight. And he washes Peter's feet. Judas is still at the table. He hasn't left yet. I presume he washed Judas's feet. He washed Judas's feet. And Peter looks to him and he says, "Oh, you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." And there we have it. This is a meal of community as well as redemption. Because as Jesus moves from the meal to the waters of salvation, it means we have a share in him. We're united to him. Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. By which I will venture, he means the Holy Spirit. That is how we know Jesus. Do you know the other gospels speak of this meal and they talk about the institution of the Last Supper? John does not mention the institution at all. Instead, he gives us the longest teaching in the Bible on the Holy Spirit, which is ultimately what the table is about. That Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is present to us, and he is coming to us. And he is the umbrella that holds us under him, under his protection, and holds the weight of the world on his shoulders while we live our lives. Jesus, strong and kind. Share with him his outer garments. And when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garments and he resumed his place. And he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. Bishop Alec talked about that last week on Palm Sunday. He talked about how the crowds were calling him Lord, and the disciples were calling him Lord, but the Pharisees called him teacher. And Bishop Alec mentioned, like, there is an intimacy and an authority that goes with Lord. And Jesus says, yes, I am your Lord and your teacher. If then, your Lord and teacher, if then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. Or as he goes on to say in the next chapter, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. When Jesus says that we have a share in him, it's, I think, John's way of saying what Matthew, Mark, and Luke in their Gospels portray with the phrase, if you will be my follower, you must take up your cross and follow. I will carry a cross. You must carry a cross. Because no one gets to the resurrection except through death. Pick up your cross and follow. But here at the table, Jesus pauses and he washes their feet and he says, if I have loved, then you love. I think that is what it means for Jesus to come as a willing, suffering servant and bear the weight of the world and our sin and our hopes and our desires and our heartbreaks and everything that it means to be human upon his shoulders, so that we might live under the umbrella of Jesus, strong and kind. Redemption. This meal is a meal of redemption, and it is a meal of community. It is redemption, redemptive, because you are washed in Jesus' Holy Spirit, whom he will send. And it is a meal of community because you are united to a foot washer. So in your lives, tonight we will do that ritually, those who want to. But your whole lives are to be lives walking in the footsteps of he who washed feet. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. If you will turn to the bottom of page 6. Fellow servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before his death, Jesus set an example for his disciples by washing their feet. An act of humble service. He taught that strength and growth in the life of the kingdom of God come not by worldly power and authority, but by such lowly service. Therefore, I invite you who share in the royal priesthood of Christ to come forward, that we may recall whose servants we are by following the example of our master. Come now, remembering his admonition that what will be for you is also to be done by you to others. Engrave on your hearts and mirror in your actions Jesus' words, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Tonight's foot washing is optional. This is a ritual act of washing, not merely. Certainly, if you choose to not participate, that's okay. Jesus is calling you to a lifetime, not merely a ritual. If you do wish to participate, please remove your shoes and socks and leave them in the pew before you come forward, and then come forward barefoot. It's okay. Come forward barefoot. You're welcome to come alone or as a group of friends or as a family. An usher will direct you to a station. After your feet are washed, please remain to wash the feet of the person in line behind you. Receive the gift of humbling yourself, as the disciples of Jesus were blessed by his humble care for them and his loving commandment to all his disciples to follow his example.